Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Joniak.
And it keeps getting better for the Bears defense.
The voice of your Chicago Bears.
Sullivan sends it back to Goff. Big push up front. Down he goes. Safety. Eddie Goldman. A vicious front push by that Bears front four. And they get to Goff in the end zone.
Twitter.com/Jeff Joniak.
In the backfield, Trubisky with Hicks. The fake handoff, Trubisky pops a pass, Doug Bradley Soul, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! And the tricks keep on coming from Matt Nagy! Another great design, snap back to Goff. Bears are bringing pressure. McManus, the throw is intercepted by Amukamara at the Bear 40. He goes down near the 48-yard line. And the Bears have taken away four of Jared Goff's throws. And that one in the fourth quarter could be the final blow.
Jeff Joniak with Mully and Haw.
Matt Nagy has guided this team to its ninth win. They go to 6-1 at home, and they knock off one of the premier teams in the NFL.
You have got to be kidding me. Fade to black.
Jeff Joniak, you are ridiculous.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
That's a great open.
And we welcome in our friend Jeff Joniak. Yeah, we make him sound good.
Hey, Jeff.
That's what we do. You don't need our
good
help.
Good morning,
Jeff.
Boys.
How
oh,
are you,
every
buddy?
Man needs a lot of help. That's all good.
Yeah. I mean, we hey, look at you, but we forget the army behind you.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's always the case. How you guys doing? You guys good?
Well, looking forward to another Sunday victory and a division title. That is something that maybe wasn't thought possible before the Khalil Mack trade, but here you are, and it's just been a glorious season. And coming off that Rams victory, what an electric atmosphere! And here we go again.
Yeah, I think it'll be just as electric, if not more. I know that was a night game, so the fans had plenty of time to fuel up, but they're going to get there bright and early, and it'll be a great atmosphere for this rivalry, and what a nice way to potentially, you know, get that division title. Do it against the Green Bay Packers and that guy, Aaron Rodgers. We'll see.
Jeff, I want to go back to Monday night, your coach's show with Matt Nagy, and I think you were talking to him about, okay, it's third and goal at the two, and you bring in four defensive linemen into the offensive huddle, and it's consistent with the kind of approach with these sort of gadget plays or trick plays. And you even didn't want to call it a trick play. But you said to him, I think you described what every Bears fan or maybe observer was feeling when he did this. It's like, why? You asked him, why do you do that? And his answer was even better. He's like, why not?
Yeah, why not? No, I do. And you'd have to be there to appreciate it even more because he's got an ear-to-ear grin on him. It's almost a devilish look, and he embraces it. He loves it, and he knows his players love it. And again, it's just another way to show just how much fun this team is having and how much fun he's letting them have. And I'm the one that said it shouldn't be called a trick play, not him. And I thought it's almost now at this point a tad disrespectful. It is, in your mind, something out of the norm. So you immediately jump to the conclusion that, oh, it's just another trick play. But these are sound football plays with just different athletes running them. And he has trust. And, boy, they're feeling the pressure, I would say, or the competitiveness to want to make sure it's run right if he's giving them the opportunity to do it. And that's the thing about it. I mean, these guys are genuinely just waiting for their opportunity. And I'm certain, I mean, just the way these guys allude to it from time to time, that there are other guys that are going to be in line to do something similar.
How much does Bryce Callahan's foot affect this team?
Man, you guys know how much I've talked about him. I just think he's been one of the key components for that defense because of the versatility and what he's brought to the table. He, even though he's not a big kid, he is very tough. He is quick. He is an explosive athlete. He can jump up in the air and battle a big tight end, a 6'6" tight end, and fight with him and knock the ball away. He can blitz from the edge, which I love. You know that. I love corner blitzes. He can deal with a back running out of the backfield. He can deal with a slot receiver, and he's done it with great success this year. It's a big loss. I'm not going to lie. That is a big loss because those guys are really difficult to find. It's a starting job, and they've been in nickel a lot. And the thing about it, with nickel, they've been stopping the run well, too. So that's a credit to him. I mean, he's a feisty little competitor, but he just has not been able to stay completely healthy through seasons, and that's a big one. So Sherrick comes in, and he's a savvy veteran, and he's been trusted by Fangio to do some things in packages. And, you know, the other night, led the team in tackles, brought him on the blitz on that last play that was on the open there. I mean, so he has been a guy that can do some things. So now he's just going to have a little bit more on him, and I would expect some other guys to trickle in and do some stuff. Vic has used DeAndre Houston Carson at times near the line of scrimmage too, so we'll see.
This segment with Jeff Joniak is brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. Jeff, what did you make of Mitch Trubisky at the podium the other day talking about this week? I thought he was very focused, seemed very serious, very committed, and yet a lot of attention was paid to his answer about not wanting to talk about his nickname Favre, which seemed a little, made some people think he was a little testy. What was your read?
No, I don't look at it that way. He's just, you know, he's all about team. You know, even in the preseason, one, I don't know if it was on our show on Bears All Access or something else. I mean, I know it was something I had asked. I don't remember when exactly, but I mentioned something about, oh, you know, now you're super tight with Jared Goff or something like that, and he didn't want to embrace that then. Like, he was so driven to competitive, and I do believe this man is a very competitive guy. So I didn't think anything of it. He's all about the rivalry, man, and that's great. These young guys, let them be that way. Let them have a little edge to them. I'm okay with it 100%.
Nobody calls me that anymore.
It's about time, man. It's about time. It's about time to end all this losing against the Green Bay Packers.
Is that a compliment, by the way, being called Favre? I mean, there's a couple different ways of looking
sure,
at it. You know?
Sure, it would be. It sure would be. But you know what?
I don't know.
Any tie, you don't think so?
Well, I think that Favre threw a lot of picks, and Favre had some issues in his private life. Listen, he's a great player. I just don't know if someone called me Favre, it would have nothing to do with quarterbacking, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, hey, I never even thought about it that way, but maybe you're right. Maybe one day we'll find out what actually that all meant. I didn't think twice about it, really. It didn't even move my needle a little bit. So,
where's his confidence heading into this game, Jeff?
I think it's good because it's who he is. He owns up to his mistakes. He stands there and tells you exactly what he didn't do and how he needs to fix it. And so now he went about the week fixing it and hoping to fix it. So I think the bottom line is, and I did see him I went into the locker room, which I really don't have time to do nowadays after games, but he was there late in the locker room. He was one of the last guys to leave on Sunday night. He was taking his time, but he had a big smile on his face, and I think he was just too hyped up, and they won, and that to him is all that matters. It's all that matters to Matt Nagy, and they go about their business.
When you look at this team and you talk about the idea of Kyle Long coming back, I mean, I don't want to undersell how important and how good the coaching job was by Harry and how good the guys played. I mean, James Daniels played great in that game. I think you can look at a lot of guys that played well in that game.
Cody, too.
Yes, no doubt. What does it mean if you can get Kyle Long back, Jeff, and how long will it take him to be where you need him?
I mean, that part of it, the end of your question, I don't know. I'm hoping it would be a plug and play and go about your business as a, you know, former Pro Bowl player and get yourself going in the right direction. He's an ornery guy, and so I like that toughness on the field, and he is outstanding when he gets moving into the second level and clears out space. He's an enforcer, and, you know, they paid him to be that guy. And so you want one of your high-played players, you know, in the playoffs. So, but the delay and how long he's been out, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he doesn't really know yet. So he just got the boot off. So we'll see how that all plays out. I'm certain he'll be activated at a minimum, you know, and why not? If they're going to the playoffs, you'd love to have a guy like that.
Jeff, when the Bears win like this, everybody gets credit and a lot of people get more attention. Is there any Bears player that has contributed that you think has been overlooked, their contributions this season?
That's a great question. First guy that pops into my mind, because he's made plays, he's done the dirty work inside, and he's living up to his potential, in my opinion, right now, is Eddie Goldman. And that could be a function of just the entire defense playing well together as a group. Like Vic Fangio said yesterday, we're 11-1. And that's how they've played this season, that way, good and bad, when things haven't gone well. And then maybe on the offensive side, maybe, you know, we're going to go with a guy like Cody Whitehair, because mm-hmm. he's had to adjust. He had to change his snap in the preseason in Denver, made that switch. They made him do it a different way. He's not giving up a sack, to my knowledge, this year. He's had very few penalties, and yes, there have been a couple errant snaps in the rain in New York, and that is about the extent of it. He's a quiet leader. He's bigger to that locker room than people really realize. He's a guy that walks around with a purpose and puts in a ton of work. I think he's had an underrated season as well in this new offense and trying to learn it just like everybody else, because he's got to know it cold like the quarterback to help with those protections up front. And he's got to think like the quarterback, in which case then he's got to think like Nagy, the play caller and play designer. So I'll go with those two guys.
The pregame begins at 9, News Radio 780 and 105.9 on the FM side. And, of course, Jeff and Tom do a wonderful job. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys.
Good stuff.
Take care. That is our guy, Jeff Joniak. Interesting all the way around.
Yeah. When you talk about you know, underrated players on this team, everyone's getting so much attention. Is anybody kind of underrated? Because we're all giving them a lot of praise.
Certainly here we are.
I thought he might say Chuck Leno Jr. I mean, that's a guy, Charles Leno Jr. has had a pretty solid year and sometimes, you know, gets taken for granted a little bit.
Great to talk to Jeff on the Aurelio's Pizza Hotline. It's the Sauce, Mully and on the Score.
I tried to do a cartwheel, but I couldn't. But I mean, you enjoy it. But really, it was a lot of satisfaction. Really happy for our players, knowing what it meant for them as individuals and as a unit. The Sunday night games, you know, you get home later, you got to sleep and get right back up at it. So that curtails a little bit of the celebrating. But it was a very good performance, and I was happy for our players.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Vic Fangio. He's worth the price of admission.
Yeah,
drink minimum every week.
Every time he talks on a weekly basis, you hear the laugh track and you wait for him to advise people to tip the wait staff.
I tried to do a cartwheel, but I couldn't.
There you go. Cue laughter. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's got a dry sense of humor. Everybody likes Vic. How much will the Packers like Vic? You know, heading into this offseason, and we're not there yet, but the Packers have begun to think that way, and they're here on Sunday. We talked to Tom Silverstein, who wrote the column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, advising the Packers to take a good, long, hard look at Vic Fangio. And I think it's really interesting advice, and it's also a fascinating dilemma potentially for the Bears, because whether or not you think that Vic Fangio would be a good head coach or not, the Packers interviewing him, number one, would be in their best interest, because maybe you want to pick the brain of the guy that is you found difficult to beat with Aaron Rodgers with the 49ers and now with the Bears. And number two, if you hire him as a head coach, you weaken your rival.
Well, I mean, that, you know, in the old days, the reason that that Jerry Angelo ended up in Chicago is because, of course, Tampa back in the day was in the Bears division, and you had an opportunity to not only get someone that you thought would be a good draftmeister for you and a good personnel guy, but you damaged them. You took away someone from them, and that is a it's a common way of going about things. You often see it in free agency. Certainly when the Bulls were tapping into what Detroit did well and bringing in Ben Wallace, that was part of the thinking. So it wouldn't be beyond the pale for the Packers to think, you know, the Bears are sitting pretty.
Cubs and Cardinals.
What is it that they have? Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
you
Jason Hayward.
Dexter Fowler.
Dexter Fowler. That worked out so well for both teams.
What do you think about that, though, in terms of the Bears in this context?
I think it was interesting to talk to Spoon about exactly what would appeal to the fan base up in Green Bay. And, you know, the idea that they want the offensive mind, they want, you know, their success in the modern era has come under Holmgren and under McCarthy. And
offensive-minded guys.
What is the common
Josh name? McDaniels.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
But Josh McDaniels, you know, what's interesting about Josh McDaniels is, and I think he would benefit from his first experience at it, but, you know, one of the things that it would be like, it could have the same element of trying to hire Nick Saban for Jerry Angelo. Okay, I'll come and I'll do the job, but I want your job too. I want total control, and I got it. And I think that was where Josh McDaniels misstepped when he went to Denver. Where he misstepped is that he alienated the quarterback by wanting to bring
quickly
in his own quarterback.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got ahead of himself a little bit. But that happens.
Well,
you
know
what?
Also with Josh McDaniels, I'm not so sure you worry about him winning the press conference as much as showing up for it, because with the Colts, he had all but an agreement, right?
He did.
He had an agreement.
And he backed out. Right.
And I would fear that until Bill Belichick is gone. I would fear that if I'm the Green Bay Packers, until he was there for the first practice and the first meeting, that would happen again. Is that fair?
It is fair. And I think the reason it's fair is because of the fact that they had him in the building, they had an agreement in place, and the guy then signs an extension in New England, presumably because he's going to inherit that job when Bill Belichick leaves, and the culture's already in place and everything is in place, and he could step in and maybe take over in a year or two, or whenever Belichick has a job for life. So whenever he decides that he's had enough of it. And if that is indeed the case, then explain to me the appeal of going to Green Bay if you've got that job there. And you know, again, the problem with the Green Bay job is that the best thing they offer is a chance to work with the 35-year-old quarterback. So how long is he going to be there? How long are you working with him? What else can they offer
but
you?
But still the Green Bay Packers. And it's still an organization that is, you know, is a very well-run organization and is respectful. And the other thing, I think, Molly, it's an interesting dilemma you would pose. The Patriots can go almost nowhere but down.
Yes.
The Packers, you're inheriting. The next coach is going to be at a time where the arrow's got to be pointing up. You're rebuilding.
Are you sure the arrow's pointing up? Because the one thing you have going for you is the quarterback.
I'm not sure, but I'm thinking if I'm the next head coach, that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm inheriting something that's broken. I can fix it. If the Patriots' next head coach they're not broken.
Yeah, you got to keep that standard up.
You got to uphold that standard. That's harder to do. It's harder to succeed both in perception and reality.
When you talk to football people about Green Bay, there's two things that really stand out to them. One, it's only about football. That's all that they have up there. There's no distractions. It's football, football, football. That appeals to coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, ownership doesn't exist. It is a stadium full of owners. There is nobody there.
No meddling.
There's no owner that, you know, decides he wants to be the GM and maybe he'd be the coach if he wanted to be. And, you know, I'm going to build this giant building. There's no meddling at all. And you don't have to, you know, work the owner. You don't have to get along with it. You just have to win. And, you know, you mentioned the way things are set up there. They've had a lot of success for a place, but they've had a lot of success based on the quarterback. And the run of quarterbacks for the last 27 years since Favre showed up and Rodgers took over.
On the other hand, when you don't have that owner, that can be an advantage, and that can
be a huge advantage.
But can it be a disadvantage in this way? What if you have an owner that is actually good at doing what he's supposed to do?
Who's the best owner in the league?
Best owner in the league.
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
People would say it's Robert Kraft. Why? Because he paid a fortune for Belichick.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Robert Kraft. It's Belichick. It's recognizing genius, which is, again.
Ownership has to approve big moves, big expenditures, big deals.
Packers have the money. They got the money sitting there. The money is the money.
But they don't operate that way typically. Oh, They've never been a team that's gone out and gotten the big free agent, made the big move.
Because, David, no one wants to go there. The last guy that really wanted to go there was Reggie, right? And you can sit here and talk about Woodson, or you can talk about different people, but that's not
the exception, not the rule.
That's not the best guy out there. If you have an opportunity, why would you want to go to the frozen tundra? What is the appeal of, you know, you've been up there.
Tradition.
We've been up there.
And like you said, it's all about football.
I don't think that appeals to – I think
– Players don't
big
care
Big cities,
about that.
You know, getting a chance to be a god in a giant fishbowl, the bigger the better. I want to live in New York. I want to go out to L.A. and get into the movies. You know, that's what appeals to people – about free agency. All the Packers can – the Packers are kind of like the White Sox. All they can really offer is money. Now, the Sox have Chicago and all the rest of it, and I told you. And you know, Joe, I'm hearing this more and more when I watch the MLB Network.
I think the fact that they win a lot is not to be ignored. They win a lot.
I think you can ignore that. I think players believe they'll win wherever they go because they're going to make the difference as part of being great. But the White Sox, have you heard people talking about Jerry Reinsdorf making the pitch and how influential he can be and how Jerry is trying? And I,
sometimes
what
he's
did
a
I tell
closer,
you?
Right?
I told you. He goes in, he has the one model of the stadium with Michael Jordan's statue, and then he has the White Sox, the guaranteed rate field with the Bryce Harper statue. And you tell a guy, you will be Jordan-esque.
Hey, Harold Bates statue, get it out.
There you go.
There's your spot.
Finally.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This week, Mully and Haw got you ready for the Bears' Week 15 matchup against the Packers with expert analysis from former Bears coach Dave Wannstedt.
The most important thing about this game is now we're on a division march. It's Green Bay, yes. They beat us, yes. But at the end of the day, Matt Nagy, I promise you, he's looking at this game as, hey, this is a division game, and we're trying to close the door on our division. So that, to me, is the most important thing about this game this week.
The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs.
I don't think they need to win a shootout with the Packers. I don't think that'll be the case. I think the Bears finally get one at home over the Packers. It's been a long time since they've beaten Green Bay at Soldier Field, and they don't beat Aaron Rodgers often. I think he's 17-4 against the Bears. But that being said, I really like the Bears' chances. I think they win this game. I put down 24-17, guys.
And Bears defensive end, Akeem Hicks.
Nobody forgot Aaron's little comments after they lost that big game where they said all we got to do is win out and go to Soldier Field and win like we've done a bunch in the past. I'm real excited for Aaron to come down here and play this game. We plan on going out there and playing good Chicago Bear football, tough defensively, got a lot of things for you on offense, as you see, and having a good game.
Will the Bears clinch the NFC North title? Mully, Haw, and your reaction to Bears-Packers, Monday morning, starting at 5 a.m.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Yeah, you clinch the title. You clinch the division. You make the last two games of the season effectively meaningless. A confidence builder with a road win in San Francisco and then coming back and beating up on a division opponent in Minnesota just to keep them from
And then you celebrate here. Because you've not been to the playoffs since 2010. You've not won the division since then, and it's a situation that represents, you know, a symbolic changing of the guard in the NFC North, perhaps, you hope. But it also just shows you how far they have come in 1 year. A year ago this time, we're talking about, okay, how many should they fire? Should they fire the general manager and the coach along with the offensive coordinator, or you know, where are they going to stop? And everybody was anticipating the seismic change that occurred. And a year later, here we are, the Bears are talking about, well, if things go this way and things go that way, you can see going deep into the playoffs, even when you have one guy like Lewis Riddick on ESPN calling him an NFC favorite to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and you look at what's happened since John Fox was fired and the changes that were made to the roster. You know, it starts with Nagy, no question about it, going out and getting a guy that is a young, dynamic coach. I would say right there with it is keeping Vic Fangio, because you kept the continuity of what you had going on that defense. But bringing in, you know, the personnel moves they made, going into free agency and giving everyone whatever it was, $38 million around, $38 million for everyone, bringing in a tight end and bringing in a wide receiver and another wide receiver, and making sure that you draft Roquan. And then obviously the key move of the whole thing is taking advantage of Oakland and getting yourself a Hall of Fame pass rusher. They were in danger of coming into yet another season with a hole at a position, which had happened for four straight years. And suddenly, you know, believe it or not, we were sitting here talking about, you know, can Leonard Floyd be the elite pass rusher they drafted him to be? And he broke a hand in the preseason. I mean, no would be the answer. He's getting better.
But he hasn't had to be.
Right. But you think he would have been?
No.
Not.
I
no.
really don't think
of
he would have been.
Of course not.
No.
So, you know, the defense takes this giant step forward.
Where would you be if that didn't happen? Yeah.
It's so great to see that every move they made, the coach has been fantastic. You know, the coaching has been fantastic. We don't talk enough about the job that Harry Hiestand has done as an offensive coordinator, another guy brought in. And then, you know, we don't talk about the secondary coach, the job that was done with the continuity coming back to that unit. And obviously drafting Roquan, and there's a lot of good things that have happened at every level of that defense. Mack has made it happen.
At every level of the defense, every level of the organization. And when you look at, we've seen some big turnarounds in this town recently. The Cubs, certainly they bottomed out and they started to climb back. The Blackhawks, one of the biggest turnarounds in sports history, the way that they came back after, you know, Rocky Wirtz took over and they won 3 cups in 10 years and became, you know, arguably one of the biggest dynasties that we've seen. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Bears, but when you see this kind of change, this metamorphosis, it is dramatic. It's because the cynicism that you always kind of had for the Bears has slowly begun to erode. I mean, you don't look at this team and expect bad things to happen right now.
Right.
You expect,
fair enough.
You expect things to happen on Sunday to go their way. And you know what? They do it in a way, and we've talked a lot about this. They get a lot of attention. This is a fun team to watch. But I think when you see people enjoying their jobs the way that these Bears players and Matt Nagy, it starts with him, enjoys his job on a Sunday, you really want to watch more. And we watch them objectively, but if, from fan standpoint, they just can't get enough of these guys.
And again, I think that what they're trying to do is win. I don't think they're trying to entertain, but the way they go about it is extremely entertaining. And one of the great matchups, you know, the ultimate boogeyman comes in here, Aaron Rodgers, and he is he's just not throwing the ball to the other team. And the Bears are leading the league in interceptions. And you got a guy that has won on the year against the team that had 4 last week. And so you wonder what is the tipping point for Aaron Rodgers. If he throws one pick, does that ensure the Bears a victory? When you're playing a team that's better than you,
yeah,
you better protect the ball. If Rodgers throws 2 picks, I don't see how they overcome the Bears. But Mitch, again, as much as we want him to play loose and easy and look beyond the first read and feel free to you know, go to guys and make plays, you also know that it's essential that you protect the ball.
Absolutely.
Especially heading to the playoffs.
This segment's brought to you by Bet Chicago for betting and fantasy football coverage. Download the app today and bet for free. When you are the better team, you can't turn the ball over. That's the sure way that you're going to lose this. So the formula for the Bears on Sunday is very familiar. Okay, you prevent the big play. You get to the quarterback. You create a turnover here or there, whether it's a fumble or an interception. Yep. But offensively, I think that you saw what worked against the Rams. And in your biggest game of the season, what did you do? You leaned on the running game. And it's December. You're in Chicago. It's cliche, but use the conditions to your advantage. And if your offensive line is playing at a level that it continues to play at the last Sunday, and that carries over into this Sunday, then run the football. Use Tariq Cohen wide. Use Jordan Howard up the middle. You run the football. Don't ask too much out of your quarterback, because let him get back into a rhythm. Let him regain some of that confidence, and then you'll have some momentum heading into the final couple weeks of the season.
There's a lot of good things that can happen in this game. Obviously, winning the division is huge. Obviously, avenging the earlier loss is huge. But I do believe that sending a message that things have changed, that roles are reversed, that the Bears aren't a team that you can count on beating anymore, it's another one. And I mean, it's all true. All the elements of it are true. I don't think the Bears are a team anyone can take for granted. I think the Bears are a team that's as good as anyone in the league. Now, you know, we'll get into all that talk as we move forward, but finish it up. Take care of business and avenge that earlier loss. And you know, the fans love this game. Ownership loves this game, but they've just been on the wrong side of too many of them. And I think that there's an element of, you know, I know this sounds crazy to people, but think about every coach that's come in here. They have been what they get talked to about by ownership. Oh, by the end, yeah, don't forget that Packer matchup. It means a lot to them.
It does, but the,
and I know you
the growth has
that.
Been so big that just beating the Packers on Sunday isn't enough.
No doubt.
Your sights are bigger than that now.
But it would be a letdown if you ended up losing twice to that team, because it's about controlling the division and moving forward. You figure you can. And you're better than them, so beat them. Period. End of story.
You are better than them. You should beat them. It would be a fluke almost if you didn't. Aaron Rodgers gives the Packers a shot. That defense is vulnerable, though. You can attack it, but I still believe, you know, and we'll maintain this, that, you know, you could lose twice to the Packers.
Oh,
and
no.
If the Bears go deep into the playoffs, nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to care, but it's not as significant as if you beat the Packers tomorrow and you lose your first round playoff game. I don't know that you're going to feel much better about beating the Packers on Sunday. That's great, but if you lose your first playoff game, that's what it's all about. You want to win in the postseason. You want to begin the ascent. I'm not saying you get to the Super Bowl this year, but this is the beginning of something. This is the first year of what you think is going to be a run of sustained success.
Well, it better be, because this is your team. You know, you're not going to be able to add a hell of a lot to this team. This is your group, and you want them to grow together and continue to get better. And I think that, you know, one of the dangers of feeling like you've arrived, even if you've arrived early, is this idea that Dan Marino played in a Super Bowl as a rookie and never saw another one. This idea that, you know, as much as you think the future is yours,
count on nothing.
Win now. Win when you have the chance. Don't ever pass an opportunity to kick the door open when you got the opportunity to win. And that, you know, the Bears are going to have to do it on the road, and they've been a better team at home. They've been great at home, and they're going to get a home game.
This is the team you're going to win or lose with. This is the
group.
You're not going to bolster this with draft picks. You're not going to probably make a lot of, you know, trades. You might make some strategic signings in free agency, depending on who's available. You're going to have to upgrade your offensive line at some point.
People are going to start taking your players.
They're going to start taking
players. As
players
become available, it's going to be hard to keep
everybody. But let's face it, too. Today's NFL, the reality is the window is open when your quarterback is on his rookie contract. Because once they have to pay Mitch Trubisky what starting quarterbacks for good teams, playoff teams in the NFL, you start to really limit your options of how to supplement your roster otherwise.
That's exactly what happens.
So you better take advantage now.
I totally agree with that. And I think that you know, the development of the player moving forward is going to be a big determinant of how this franchise ends
the
up.
The player
doing.
Being Trubisky.
Oh, you know, no question about it, right? I mean, you know, you got a guy that you think can play. You got a guy you've seen improve over the course of the year and took a step back last week, but you want to get him back on the happy trail. And
you think the ceiling's high, he'll determine how high.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, You I don't know what is the Mendoza line of quarterbacking in the NFL, and you don't have to be Tom Brady. You don't have to be Aaron Rodgers. You know, you look every year, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl last year, and there was a very creative offense around him, and there was a really strong defense around him. And and you
he didn't
know, you
screw it up.
He didn't screw it up at all.
He made the big plays when he needed to.
I'm saying,
but they didn't have to ride him into the Super Bowl.
But it's not sustainable unless the quarterback can come back and play well. And Wentz now has got a fracture in his spine, right? He's going to have that taken care
Wouldn't
of.
Wouldn't it be something if Foles comes in and rides him again? I don't see that happening, though.
Yeah, they got issues on the offensive line. They got some
Let's back to your point, Mully. I mean, it looks like the Bears are set up for the next few years,
right.
But Philadelphia from last year to this year, Jacksonville, I mean, nothing, especially in the NFL, is guaranteed
from year to year.
Those
are quarterback problems, right? I mean, do we agree on that? I don't know. Wentz
those
was pretty
are quarterback
good.
Problems. I mean, Jacksonville had a lot of disappointments and some injuries, but their defense let them down at times. But ultimately, it was the quarterback that couldn't come through. And with Philadelphia, you're right. Wentz has been, he's still a year ago he was getting injured, so maybe it's not fair to judge him. But he's been a disappointment. I'd say.
I guess Marino was in his second year. Whatever. He got to a Super
How
Bowl.
How dare
never
you?
Saw another one. That was the point.
Get Dolphins history
because he's
wrong.
Talked about that quite often.
Yeah.
About. Believing when that happens that you think you'll
the point's
be there
not
year.
Any different.
No,
the point is the same. You have a young quarterback. You have some success. You can't take it for granted.
All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Connor, and we will do the mandatory but well enjoyed transition next. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.